Good morning, Zenith and the Cosmos. Welcome back to EXPN The Experience. I'm your boy host with the joy most, Dirk Bradley.
And I'm Warren Rustboro.
It's a beautiful day on the satellite, and our beloved teams are all betwinkled as they sharpen their staves and polish their scrolls awaiting a new Axis quest.
After the calibration saw multiple top-ranking teams taking a short vacation and minor upgrades to the ring stopped Axis transport for a brief window. We're easing into what will surely be an action-packed array of upcoming quests.
I can't wait. I feel like a million quid. Something about a healthy breakfast, a hot shower, and a clean set of duds can really lube up the old feel-good machine.
That was my breakfast you ate. I turn my back for a second and you're on my eggs like a raven rat on a festering hot dog.
I haven't had a festering hot dog for breakfast in days. I think someone woke up on the wrong side of bed today.
That's because someone glued my bed sheets together.
Don't be such a drama tyrant. It was just a few pints of honey.
And the hot shower you took was in my private bathroom. You have a bathroom of your own, Dirk.
Yeah, but mine doesn't have flowery snacks in it.
I keep telling you those are decorative soaps.
Well, that explains all the diarrhea. It sure is a relief to know the source of it after years of mystery squirts. What a time to be alive.
And last, but not least of all, that clean set of duds you're wearing is one of my best suits. You look like a man-child wearing the clothes of a child man.
Ah, come on, Rust. Wardrobe theft is the most sincere form of flattery. Haven't you ever heard of following suit? It's so soft and warm against my skin, like some kind of fabric mouth kissing my shadow zones and wicking away my dermal drippings. Now I know why you wear these every day.
I swear to the lords below, Dirk. I'll be pushed from being at my wit's end to being off the wit grid. Things can get dark and messy off the grid, Dirk. I stay cool for a reason. Now answer me very carefully. Did you also take my Dryder silk boxers?
Fear not, my fellow suited suitor. Trying to get me into underpants is like trying to get a cat into a latex bodysuit. It's all tangles and angers. No, I never touch the stuff.
Oh. Good. Wait. Does that mean that you're...
excited for the show? You know it. Let's do the thing where we stop talking and watch cool stuff happen for a while. Jimmy, can we do that? Is it watch time now?
I don't see why not.
Great, great. Back to you, not us.
As the simulation ends, the illusions fade and the room returns to a normal, albeit darkened, state. Just as standing in the unlit room begins to grow awkward, you hear Hal mutter an, "Oh, right," and quickly hustle off towards the control panel. Calling out as he does, "Begin simulation, Orison Ypsilon 1.7.67. 8! 1.7.68! For the briefest moment, you see what appears to be a wave of lava forming on the opposite side of the room before Hal's correction dissipates it harmlessly. The rest of you stand slightly closer together as the new program spools up, the training hall's illusory generators humming to life.
That lava thing would have been a really quick mission.
Yes. What do you think Halifon is going to do? I bet it's going to be like a gladiator arena. Or that show where people run around the obstacle courses while the gladiators try to stop them?
The lights flicker and pulse as the simulation sparks to life, the hum shifting to a droning buzz. Flashes now, like lightning strikes, from several directions. A storm? The realization crashes upon you with more force than any thunderclap. This is Halifon's challenge, and he is pulling no punches.
Fallow Crown, can you confirm that Gaspar was in fact kidnapped by Halifon's aunt during the hero draft? Was his absence merely some kind of publicity stunt?
The press.
Oh no.
I have no comments for you. Next question.
At that, I would like each of you to take a brief moment to come up with one journalist who is sitting in this room and a couple of questions for your co-teammates. For your teammates, the co is redundant. Also, if you can, think of a name of the publication that they represent. In this press conference, all publications of all styles and levels of credibility are represented. There are fashion publications, there are sporting magazines, there are news journal, like investigative journalists, there are tabloid gossip paper rights. You know, anything goes in this hub press conference.
Where are we starting?
A woman speaks up. Ariana DeVoid, Zenith. Penelope, how do you suppose your friends and family back home feel about your success here on Hub? Do you suppose any of them were hoping you'd bring the crown back to their plane and become a local team?
They probably find it very strange, but my understanding is that there's been an influx of travel to Evdemonia lately. I'm sure they're very happy about that.
She writes as you speak, scribbling with her pen. Another journalist. Damon, from Balance. Penny, do you suppose the influx of tourists to Evdemonia is upsetting the balance of that plane? Do you feel any responsibility for events that may transpire a result of your abandoning your home?
No, it's an axial plane. I don't think you could really befoul it. You can't really have too many people swimming in the wine lake. It's more of a concept than a place, really.
Interesting, he writes.
A tall figure stands up from the crowd, its skin pearlescent and gleaming with slime. Tentacles descend from a place where a mouth should be. It speaks, and it echoes in your minds.
Hello, I am Alir Slesh from Sports Illustrated. The monthly mind control magazine. Mind control is seen by many as taboo, and yet deontological arguments aside, prevention of violent crimes through will denial is a time-honored tradition in adventuring. If faced with a situation where an enemy would do harm to an innocent, and mind control were the only option, would you dominate the will of another?
This is not a kind of magic that I personally have any understanding of, but my knowledge is still fledgling, to say the least. I suppose situationally in the future, something temporary, but I'll have to look into it. I've never studied that much enchantment.
Not all fae cast enchantments, and I'm a little offended that you would even imply that.
Your defensiveness speaks volumes.
I have never enchanted anyone, so write that down.
The fans disagree, Penny.
Your question implies that I either have or will have the power to dominate someone's will. No comment.
If there's like a home study course.
A follow-up question, if you will. We are always interested in finding people to allow us to sponsor them. Would you wear this Sports Illustrated hat that is a totally ordinary hat?
Wow, you're going to bring this question up to me?
That is very insensitive.
We also have a scarf. Again, this is a totally ordinary scarf.
It doesn't complement our team colors at all. I'm afraid I'm going to have to hard no.
Are you sure? Just for a few minutes? It's a very ordinary hat.
I respect your tenacity.
Okay, give me that hat. This is a normal hat, yes?
He passes you a beanie that just says Sports Illustrated on it, and it's got what looks like an illithid head.
I put it on top of the rider's head.
As soon as you put it on, you can feel a powerful will overriding the existing one, but because your wisp is functionally the same thing as a brain, it kind of just ignores it.
Wow. Can somebody escort him out the room?
Oh, what? This sucks.
And he's escorted out.
Go sell your merch at a card table.
Hi, Aspen Vancaster from Major Image, and I have a question for Mr. Iavos Isadora. Iavos, your skin is as gray as ash. How do you coordinate with the bright, vibrant colors of your team?
I suppose I've just done my best to work it into small things. They say part of my aesthetic is a lot of trinkets. Thankfully, they're easy to highlight with the colors of our choice, and weaving the threads that hold my robes together is a nice way to slip in a little bit of teal and copper. It's not perfect, but fashion was never my strong suit.
On that note, a androgynous figure stands up. They are nondescript with slicked back hair. Yes, hello. This is Deuce Centennial of Surla Abel. Iavos, on that note, the Abelites have noticed your distinct lack of fashion and have raised funds for a charity makeover. How do you envision your new style?
I find it very strange to start a fundraiser without informing the person it is for beforehand. It seems to step outside of the realm of fashion consent. I don't know. I don't plan on changing my look very much. These things I wear are part of who I am and my history. Though I suppose if there was an event or something, I would let someone doll me up. I'm very uncomfortable with this question. There's a lot of information I'm getting I was unaware of.
Okay, everybody, we don't have to know about his fashion.
A 7-foot-tall, 400-pound, 8-winged angel uses a maul as a microphone.
Smiteel, a downbringer from the Book of Exclusive Feeds. I'm Iavos. We've heard Hal recite your tenants multiple times. At least our sources say that they come from you. Are you tempting him towards heresy? Are you taking one of our blessed sons away from us?
I have no intentions of changing Hal's faith or affiliations of any kind, other than making sure he's part of the team.
Spoken like a true heretic.
Yes, I have a question, if I may.
And a very short, curly-haired, near-spherical figure covered with some freckles, some pimples, thick bottle frame glasses, and a plaid shirt tucked into his too high pants. Says,
Chib Quietly from Zenith MV Magazine.
Zenith Envy!
My question's for Penelope Farthing. What message do you have for the young children who watch the LUQ and look up to the heroes as the role models?
Well, I would say to them, I love you all so much, and you have so much boundless potential to be anything that you want to be.
Boundless potential, that's very funny. And speaking of fashion, I want to direct it towards Gaspar, who's clearly the most fashionable member of the team. Who are you wearing tonight?
I'm rocking the Yugoloth. I know they've had a few incidents questioning their ethics, but they make good clothes.
Speaking of questionable ethics, I was referring to the new head you're sporting on your hip. It seems you change them as often as shoes.
So, in regards to fashion, I'm wearing a line of fade travel clothes called Fon Voyage, Penny says, interrupting on behalf of Gaspar.
Who asked?
Roman Fade, Quest Illustrated. If I may, on several occasions now, your team has resorted to violence first and asking questions later. Do you consider yourselves heroes or heels?
I think that's for our fans to decide. Next question.
Tim Messenger here. Hi. Penny, what's your perfect sundae?
Oh, that's a good one. My perfect sundae has 3 scoops, hot fudge, and the rainbow sprinkles.
Hot fudge, very good. He writes down.
Yes, this is Deuce Centennial again from Surla Abel. Gaspar, as an Abelite, when are you planning to return home? And do you even have family to return to?
You can see that this comment absolutely hurts Gaspar. It is so clear. No comment.
I always just puts his hand comfortably on Gaspar's shoulder, sensing the pain.
From underneath the table, he's going to load and unload his crossbow over and over again.
Roman Fade again, Quest Illustrated. Iavos, fans are asking, your low strength sets pretty severe limitations on how much equipment you can carry. Why waste so much of it on a greatsword you have no proficiency with?
Well, it's important to me. Belonged to someone very important to me, and I hope to return it to them someday. Can't leave it behind.
Avos Isadora, this is Grace Devine from EXPN.
Oh, big fan. I was a big fan of your goat stew recipe from a couple of weeks ago. The parsnips were brilliant.
Oh, well, thank you so much. You're so sweet. Well, my question is, as a practitioner of both arcane and divine magic, how would you compare the two, or note their differences?
My goodness, the depth of this question. I don't seek out magic of any fashion. I take what is given to me and use it to the best of my abilities. There is very little choice in the gifts that I unlock. So I don't have a preference personally, though I will say the magic I enjoy casting the most is healing.
Then can you answer for the fact that you keep taking wizard levels instead of cleric?
I needed fourth level feats.
Well, aren't you sweet as pie? Follow-up question for Penelope Farthen. Hun, I understand your nature is to play bocce ball and grab ass all day. Why are you down here playing with swords and shields? I don't know. I just think there's more to life than playing games and going on orgy tours sometimes.
Tourgies.
Tourgies.
I hear they schedule those now. You know, am I getting a cut every time they mention my name? I don't think I am. And here's just a little more food for thought. You might want to think about what happens to axial creatures who defy their axis.
Aspen Vancaster here with a question for the whole team, and it's buzzing on everyone's lips and minds. Who is the Fallow Crown going to choose for their team captain?
I don't think we've had this discussion as a group yet, fully.
No, we haven't. We haven't really talked about it.
I mean, I know that we all have different strengths, and if we're to proceed with league things, Halifon does have a quite encyclopedic knowledge of at least plays and field strategy, but there's so much more to this that we're learning on daily. It will require a lot of deliberation.
I think all of us are good candidates.
When Iavo suggests Hal as the team captain, there's like a light coin-collecting chime sound, and a little plus one appears above his head. Hal is clearly on the controls somewhere.
We get points for ass-kissing.
Over an unseen intercom. Not really, I just appreciate it.
Tomek Gray, rogue. Gaspar, what's your number one piece of equipment no specialist should embark on an adventure without?
I would say a good cloak. It is very versatile.
Predictable, he says, looking slightly disappointed.
Zandervice, power creep. Gaspar, if you possessed a hydra's head and then you cut it in half, would you possess both of the new heads or only one of them?
I'm not at liberty to discuss future tactics.
Ooh.
That's very good.
Gaspar over here stonewalling the press while y'all are just dumping your heart.
I learned it from last time.
Gaspar, this is Deuce again. How do you respond to allegations that the seat of your trousers are an item of holding and that you haven't registered them?
Yeah, how much you get paid as a part-time cake smuggler?
Yeah. The amount of cake I smuggle is my own business.
Chip quietly from Zenith Envy magazine. It's important for an LUQ team to be in front of the media as much as possible, and I can't help but notice that you all have been doing top-secret missions off-cam for quite a while now. How do you explain this lack of publicity, and what are you getting up to back there in the secret shadows?
Well, we are given quests, and we go and do them. Where they are and what they involve haven't been that much up to us.
I think the real question is, why do other teams feel they need to be in front of the cameras all the time? They're not even plurals.
And we're just following the stipulations of the quests we are given. That's a question for the commission, not us.
And quite frankly, I'd say that not all of us are in the dark as to what the Fallow Crown has been doing behind closed doors. Sorry, Perry Filigree, the satellite. I have a question. Many believe that Halifon Orison was supposed to be the next greatest thing. It was even believed that he was taking a step down by joining the Fallow Crown. And yet throughout your novice career, you all have developed so dramatically, whereas Halifon is still stuck to his same old tricks. What do you say to the reality that you're outpacing him.
Dirk, first of all, why are you reading? Second, why are you reading while we're live? And third, why of all the things you could be reading, would you be reading a newspaper again while we're live?
Huh? Oh, sorry, pal. You know, I've been thinking.
Do tell.
You're always saying I need to put the work in and get my life back on track. Wake up earlier, wash your legs instead of letting the water run over them. Take out the garbage instead of using it as bedding. Contribute to this and that.
Yes, I definitely do say those things more often than I should have to.
Well, consider me officially on that grind. Now that I have a regular food source,
no.
An all-new wardrobe,
nope.
And a comfortable forever home.
Absolutely not.
Figuring it's about time for the next leg of the ladder. First, I applied to every business on the street and all the other streets, too. That didn't work so well, so I went to a job placement agency and took their quiz test to find out what kind of job is perfect for me. And after some ink smears and countless checkboxes, they generated the perfect job for old Dirk Bradley. Problem is, I can't seem to find Sex Clown on any of these classifieds.
Dirk, you realize you have a job, right?
Wait, I do? Did I get a column back? When do I start?
No, you bathmat. I mean this job. The job you're debatably doing right now.
Oh.
Well, in the interest of keeping this position and program a source of income, why don't we move on to some ads?
Great, that'll give me time to finish reading this hilarious comic.
Dirk, that's a crossword puzzle.
Ah, now I get it. Ha ha, classic.
Some people say that printed media is dead. Well, now those people are dead, and I'm here to tell you that now is the best time to invest in the future of tabloids, newspapers, magazines, zines, mags, and newsloids. Hi, I'm Magnus Prime from Well-Read Wizard Subscriptions. Our catalog of available written word and photography media has something for everyone. Everyone seems smarter with a few magazines on their table. If you subscribe to our service just once, not only will you get a free month of magazines, but a lifetime of endless newsletters, reminders of renewal, and an open window to all similar services to contact you and offer you even more wonderful deals. And that's a promise. Get classic subscriptions like Rogue, Teen Rogue, Cosmopolitan, Orbs Magazine, Sur La Able, Zenith Envy, Role Playboy, Lawful Good Housekeeping, 11 Tween, Power Creep, and Sports Illustrated, including the Skin Suit Edition. All these and more titles to choose from. Unlock the magic of fat stacks of paper covered in pictures and words to keep in your family for generations and fill your empty, desolate closets. Call Well-Read Wizard Subscriptions today for instant lifetime membership. We'll be waiting. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Hey, all you cuties. The mid-roll is like the belly button of the podcast, so let's gaze inside together. This week's mid-roll is all about the three P's. The first P is participation. We are thrilled every time we interact with fans online, be it Twitter, Facebook, or our amazing Discord community. Seriously, it's always great. When you tag us, talk about us, or become part of the LUQ Discord family, we will always try to let you know that you are seen doing it. We love it. And we really do chat all the time in the Discord. Also, leaving a review of the show is a really easy way to win us over. Maybe even make us blush a little bit and stuff. The second P is Patreon. It makes the show possible. We have great rewards, loads of homebrew D&D content from the show, maps, monsters, music, and more. At the highest tiers, you can write a character to join the battle axis and become part of the world's meta, or you can get your name mentioned with the legendary mid-roll teams. Welcome to or welcome back to the $25 a month club to Mike Gordon, Ludus Anderson, and Scott Daniel Comerford. Our current legendary teams are the Twilight Concord, the Forgotten Legacy, the Ceaseless Horde, and this week's featured team, the Titans Rise, with Darce Mail, Bedlam, Evelet, and Big Boy Roy. Troy. The third P is pins. Get them while they still exist. This may be a limited edition item, and everyone who's been sharing photos of their pins with us has told us how much they love this product. So get it for yourself and let us know. They're going fast. To contact Slapdash Studios, use the email admin@slapdashstudios.com or send your physical mail to P.O. Box 230091, Tigard, Oregon 97281, as long as it's not homemade food. These are great ways to ask questions about getting ads on the show, sharing fan art, and reaching out to the folks behind the scenes. And if you can't get enough Slapdash, follow us on Twitch. Monday nights, Dana hosts new episodes of the LUQ. Wednesday nights, me and Zach play our cooperative Pokemon Soul Link Nuzlocke. Thursday nights, Dana plays awesome games on Penny Plays. And during the rest of the week, you can join Zach in the mornings for his exercise video game streams, and me midday-ish for Lawcraft or whatever else I feel like playing. If our numbers keep growing on Twitch, we can do a whole bunch of new projects in the future, and that sounds like fun. But I'm all out of peas, so let's get you back to the battle axes.
Perry's question hangs heavy in the air. Iavos, your wisdom is enough to realize this hall of illusions, this press conference, isn't real. None of these people are actually in the room. These questions were programmed. This isn't Perry asking you. It's Hal.
That can't be true, can it, Iavos? Are we holding Hal back?
I think what has happened here is Hal set the bar, and we did our best to meet it, but he hasn't stopped doing it. Going out on adventures with him, it's what keeps us sharp. We have to compete with him. He is the goal for us.
I like the image of while you're having this whispered conversation, Gaspar stands from the seat. He's flailing the loaded crossbow around. What are your metrics to decide this question? What are your statistics? How is he being outpaced? What gives you the right to determine that? No response? Cite your sources.
The image of Perry twitches. It flickers. It doesn't seem to be able to respond to this question. It hasn't been programmed that way. You hear Hal on the back end. Shit. Activate. Orison Delta 1.6.9. The room dissolves around you. You're now equipped in armor, your weapons. Standing before you is Hal. A strange light in his eyes. Behind him, you see Perry. His skin waxy, his eyes burning red. He whispers to Hal, "They aren't your friends. They're holding you back. Why don't you cut them loose?" And he takes a step back. Roll initiative.
I like it.
Oh,
Grimer Wormtongue in here.
That's a good one. Did you say Grimer Wormtongue?
What is
it? Grima.
Why did I say Grimer?
Because you like Pokemon. And
I do love Pokemon.
Grimer. I want to see somebody redraw all of the Lord of the Rings characters as Pokemon using... Oh, man. Who would... Oh, sorry. No, not now. Not now.
I mean, Ferrothorn's obvious. I got a 4.
For initiative?
Yeah.
I got a 15.
All right. Gaspar?
19.
All right. Gaspar, Hal is going to give you a 9 on your roll instead.
How dare you use my gift against us? Clever
so
devil.
Good. So good.
Penny, what was yours?
15.
15. Gaspar, what's yours if you have a 9 on the die?
13.
13. With a wave of his hand, the vampiric entity of Perry summons a swarm of bats, which cascade over Hal, surrounding him in a cloak of darkness. You can no longer see him. Penny, it is now your turn.
We can't fight Halifon.
If Hal can do that move, he's outpaced us.
I won't kill him. Weaken him, and I will try to put him to sleep.
Whatever subdues him, just remember this is an illusion.
I'll try. Okay, everyone, behind me. I'm the vanguard and shot caller for this one. Penny is going to start banging her shield and cast heroism on herself with a first level spell slot.
Nice.
With her bonus action, she gives Gaspar bardic inspiration. A sweet embrace makes feelings show, so fell your friend with loving blows.
All right. Is that it for your turn, Penny?
Yeah, she's positioning herself squarely in front of Iavos, and Gaspar is free to satellite.
All right, Gaspar, that makes it your turn.
Penny, you're shot calling. What are we doing?
Gaspar, you flank. See if you can get attacks on... What was his name?
Filigree.
Yes, maybe if we take him out first, it might snap Hal out of whatever's going on. Or at any rate, he certainly has fewer hit points. Don't get too close. If Hal pursues you, lead him back to me.
By the way, since the press room has disappeared, where are we now?
You are in what appears to be a manor house. Gothic, dark, spider webs around the corners. Your sort of quintessential vampire manor. Hal's imagination, while rampant, is drawn to cliches.
He was a big fan of the Ravenloft comics back in the day.
Yeah.
Gaspar is then going to hop off of Penny's back, then shoulder, attempt to swing on a chandelier, and then perch himself on one of the archways, which I'm guessing has like steel framed windows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That all works out. Go ahead and roll me an acrobatics check, Gaspar, for your parkour.
Yeah. That's a natural 20 for 30.
Very nice. Without issue, you land on a window ledge. You are now 30 feet above the ground.
I'm in position for the flank. I do not have eyes on Hal.
Good. I'll let you know if he moves.
Then I'm going to shoot a crossbow bolt at Filigree.
Okay. Go ahead and fire.
That is a 12 to hit.
12 misses. Anything else on your turn?
That's it.
Okay. After Gaspar is Hal. Exploding out of the cloud of bats, Hal charges Penny. You can see that he's not home. Something has compelled him to fight you, and he will fight you with everything he has. He takes a swing with his bone glaive directly at you. Why am I trying to roll d10s for...
Oh, that's okay if you want.
Right. to hit, yeah.
It's an 83 to hit.
Right.
It's 2d10, though.
All right. Penny, 27 to hit you, I'm going to assume is probably a...
That's a hit, but it's not Pathfinder, so it's not a crit.
Right, yeah. So you take 12 points of damage from the strike.
He moves in faster than Penny can track, and suddenly she's on the end of his glaive, spitting up blood, but she grits her teeth.
Iavos.
Iavos slides up next to Penny on her shield side in case she wishes to be more defensive. And knowing Hal as he does, he's just going to do his best to slow him down. So Iavos is going to reach out and gently tap Hal on the forehead. How's that wisdom save of yours, bud?
I will roll it. There is one slight complication, Iavos. Mm-hmm. The moment that you enter Hal's melee range, the glaive whips away from Penny and into you.
That's fine.
That might miss. Iavos, does an 11 hit your AC?
I got a 12, baby.
All right.
Oh my gosh.
I rolled a 5. Hal's attack of opportunity misses, but it becomes clear the version of Hal you were fighting is a version he has not yet grown into.
Be careful, Iavos. I haven't studied these maneuvers yet.
I'll do what I can.
Please roll the same shittiness with your wisdom save.
A wisdom save, yes. A 6, Iavos.
Hold person.
Okay.
The target must succeed on a wisdom saving throw or be paralyzed for the duration. At the end of each turn, the target can make another wisdom saving throw, and on a success, the spell ends. That lasts for 1 minute.
End of his turn. Got it.
Using the rest of his movement, Iavos is going to slide back behind Penny and her tanky deer bulk, and just
ready another spell when the time comes. Not holding an action, obviously, just he's prepared.
Okay. Does that end your turn?
That'll end my turn.
All right. Back at the top of the initiative, we have Perry. Perry waves a hand, turns into a bat himself, and flies into the swarm, which then lifts into the air to surround Gaspar.
This ruined so many of my plans.
A swarm of bats will often do that.
Yeah.
Even if it's just grocery shopping.
But he turned into a bat and hid in the cloud, dude.
Yeah, he did. He Good. Did do that.
You know, Hal really doesn't fucking like journalists, huh?
Yeah. Gaspar, a swarm of bats surrounds you, biting and flapping, I guess, technically. There's probably just bites. I don't think
violently
bats.
Violently flapping.
Yeah, I don't think bats really have claws to claw with. So
like an unarmed attack, kind of just beating you up.
Yeah. Ooh, Gaspar, how's a 6?
That's going to miss.
Yeah, I think it will. You are surrounded by bats, but they are biting ineffectually at your leathers.
I protect myself with my handy-dandy adventurer's cloak.
There mm-hmm. you go. Yeah.
Awesome.
The adventuring cloak. Never leave home without it.
Joke's on you. This just makes me look cooler.
Penny, your turn.
Okay, so first off, Penny does manage to maintain concentration on her heroism spell through Hal's attack.
Oh, good.
So at the beginning of her turn, she automatically gains 3 hit points. And Hal is immobilized right now. Is that right?
Paralyzed is the condition.
I think that, yeah. Incapacitated, and I think that...
Melee attacks are crits if they hit.
Yeah, if they hit. And you have advantage, I'm pretty sure, 2 hit.
Yes.
Yeah, that won't that snap him out of it, though?
No. Doesn't say so.
Nope. Wow. All right.
Okay, so first I'm going to give Bardic Inspiration to Iavos.
Mm-hmm.
Fleet of foot and battle fired. Muscles flex and never tire. And then Penny is going to shake her head kind of sadly. I'm sorry, Halifon. And she's going to stab him.
All right. Roll an attack.
With love, Zach. Sure. Don't make that face. That is a 23.
23 will hit. Hal is armored more heavily than you have seen him before, but you are still able to pierce with your weapon.
Assuming I don't have any bonuses to damage, that is 5 damage.
5 damage. Is that total?
Yes.
Okay. Halved to 2 because Hal is raging. All right. Is that the end of your turn?
It is.
Gaspar, you are surrounded by bats.
That is all.
That's all?
Yep. Well, it's your turn, yeah. And you're surrounded by bats.
Is the chandelier lit?
It's lit. It's dim. The room is dimly lit.
Okay.
It's lit.
I'm going to take the disengage action.
Okay.
Hop onto the chandelier, dismount it, but on its way back, I'm going to toss a flask of oil, uncorked, so that some of it ignites towards the swarm of bats.
Okay.
I don't know if you can see that in your mind's eye. If that all makes sense.
Basically, you're trying to rain fire down upon the bats.
Correct.
Yeah, right. I'll allow it.
What do you want me to make?
I think the bats probably need to make a dexterity saving throw. I don't think you can really miss with an AoE attack. Well, I mean, you can, but...
Yeah, I think the flask of oil, I still have to make a ranged attack.
Okay, make a ranged attack.
Do you want me to make an acrobatics for the chandelier shenanigans?
Nah, you're Gaspar.
That's the compliment I was looking for. Thank you. That is a 19 for an unproficient ranged attack.
Okay. All right. I will say that 19 is plenty to get the flask of oil exactly where you want it. Go ahead and roll damage while the bats make a dex save for half.
We'll call that 7 fire damage.
7 fire damage. All right. The bottle breaks and fire rains upon the bats. A few of them do drop incinerated by the blast. However, their echolocation seems to give them preternatural awareness of where this bottle is coming, and they quickly duck out of the way as the bats roll a 19 on their dex save and Perry rolls a natural 20.
All right, which bat looked like it really dodged? Oh, it's that one? And I've lost it in the cloud.
Yeah.
Damn it.
And it's back in the cloud. You said 7 damage?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Does that end your turn, Gaspar?
With the rest of my movement, I'll just head behind Hal.
Okay.
That's my turn.
All right. After Gaspar is Hal. At the end of Hal's turn, he saves against being paralyzed.
This version of Hal is wearing a shirt. He's unstoppable.
This version of Hal is wearing half plate, actually.
I can't see his nipples. I don't know where he's coming from.
This isn't our Hal.
Man, Evdemonian battle tactics are fucking weird.
This version of Hal has also rolled a 2 on his wisdom save, which means he is still paralyzed, and his turn ends. Iavos.
Oh, boy. I'm getting a lot of mileage out of this old person. Okie dokie. Well, the objective here is to take out this super version of Hal. So as Gaspar is getting up to his Gaspar antics up in Chandelier Town, I'm sure there's going to be some fallout from chunks of chandelier chain bulb falling to the ground. Iavos is going to slide backwards about 15 feet at an angle behind Penny.
All right.
So he still has a view of Halifon.
Paralyzed, Hal cannot make an attack of opportunity against you.
Perfect. Iavos is going to magically catch one of the falling bulbs in the air and hurl it at the paralyzed Hal using catapult at point blank range. There's going to be broken glass and candle fire. It's going to be nasty.
I believe this is a dex save that Hal has to make.
That is a dex save, and I'm casting it at third level.
Paralyzed Hal fails automatically, if I am not mistaken.
That is correct.
All right, so roll your damage.
We're getting some synergy up in here.
Jesus.
I think it's 3d8, but I need to check because something in my brain is saying d10, and I.
My brain wants to say that Iavos is overpowered, but then I remembered that like a child with a stick could kill him.
Yeah.
I was excited to have a 12 AC earlier.
Yeah. It's bludgeoning damage, isn't it, for catapult?
Yep.
Okay.
And I know he's raging, but
yeah.
So I'm going to cast it. I get to roll 4d8. I'm sorry, 5d8 because it's third level.
Oh yeah, very good.
Yes, that is indeed bludgeoning damage, and you are going to take 23 points.
Is that already halved or pre-halved?
Unhalved. Okay. As you are frozen.
Yep. That'll be 11 then.
Nice.
That Hal takes. All right. Iavos, does that end your turn?
Yeah, I suppose it does.
Okay. And so current battlefield layout is Penny, Hal, Gaspar, right? You've made a Hal sandwich.
Yes.
And Iavos about 15 feet back from Penny.
Mm-hmm. And I think both Penny and Hal have each other's weapons inside of them right now.
Yes, I believe so. Oh, no, Hal pulled his out to attack you when you walked up.
Oh, he sure did.
And then got paralyzed. So that makes it Perry's turn. He and his swarm of bats will swoop from the window ledge where they were down to attack Iavos, who has just isolated himself from the rest of his party.
That's true.
Bat bite.
Bats! AC 12.
Yep. All right. Bite from the bats. That's a 2. The bats miss.
What about Perry?
That's what I'm about to check. Perry. He's got a better 2 hit.
See, Iavos is covered in so many flaps and he's all brown and gray and ashy and they all just think he's just a big bat.
14 to hit your AC, Iavos.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
But I am going to respond with a hellish rebuke.
That seems only fair. Go ahead and roll your damage.
Well, I take damage from you first. That's what triggers it.
Yeah, I know, but it's a dex save for half for Hellish Rebuke, so you'll do some damage regardless.
True enough. And I say, parry this!
Ooh, very good.
What is this D10 doing? Look at it! How did I do that?
Oh.
It's on its side! What?
It's balanced on an edge, everybody. Ooh.
So that is 13 fire damage to parry the bat.
What is your spell save DC?
A 14.
He rolls 14 exactly, taking half damage, which you said was 13?
Yes.
Okay, so he takes 6. All right, Iavos, you are taking 8 points of slashing damage.
My blood!
Plus 3 necrotic.
Ooh, a little cherry on that bite cocktail.
Well, he is a vampire. And that ends his turn. Penny, it is you. Your wizard is being bat attacked.
He is, and that's not good.
Oh, on that topic, actually, Iavos, you have just taken damage. Please make me a concentration check for hold person.
Mm-hmm. Bat attack.
Too true. I got a 9.
All right, Hal.
You have inspiration.
I do, and I'm going to use it. Okay. I've actually never gotten inspired by Penny in a battle, I don't think, which is why I got so excited when it came up.
There you go.
Never have, no.
I rolled a 3, so that's 11.
Perfect. You only needed to roll 1, I think, if you had 9 already. So,
nope.
Penny, your turn. Hal is still paralyzed thanks to your inspiration.
This battle is quickly going south as Iavos is surrounded by bats. Penny, thinking quickly, makes a decision. shut your mouth, you creepy creep. Now shut your eyes and sleepy sleep. And she's going to juice a second level sleep spell and drop it on Filigree and the bats.
Okay.
And hopefully, we'll see how it goes.
All right.
And I'm going to center my spell above Iavos to prioritize the bats.
To Praetorian the bats. Yeah.
That seems fair. Iavos being a wizard, he is probably mostly in the fetal position at this point anyway.
God, I love those chime dice so much.
Yeah, it's incredibly... It's like ASMR.
24 hit points. Kind of low rolls.
Centering your spell above Iavos's head, your hit points are just enough to knock the bats unconscious. One bat does not fall to the ground. You now know where Perry is.
He's also biting my face, like, right now.
Yeah. Is that end of your turn, Penny?
You used your bardic inspiration, did you not, Iavos?
Mm-hmm.
I will hand you another one.
Hooray!
This time with less aplomb. She's just going to pull it out of her pocket and give it to you.
Oh, thank you.
Perfect, Penny. That's exactly what I needed. I'm going to take the bonus action to aim. Point my crossbow right onto Iavos' head that is currently being sucked on by a bat.
Bebitten.
Bebitten. Iavos, do you trust me?
Just do it.
Dwang.
All right. Roll your attack.
I mean, fucking apple on the head. He's shooting a bat off my face.
Oh, critical failure. That's a natural 20.
Oh, yes! There we go.
Oh, Kraken dice. Good stuff.
Thank you, Kraken.
I was terrified that was going to be a natural one for a second.
Me too.
That's why I was right in the fucking head.
The simulation was fake, Iavos is really dead.
The simulation ends, fail.
But the attack came from Gaspar, and he's real, so I'm just dead.
Wasted.
But with a 20, it, like, kills the bat, and then, like, puts a cigarette in my mouth and lights it. And...
That is 37 points of damage.
Sweet Jesus.
And you doubled your sneak attack as well, right?
I did, yes.
All right, perfect. 37, that's a lot of damage. Gaspar, your shot defies all logic. Not only do you not hit Iavos, but you pierce the bat with a crossbow bolt through the heart. And being a vampire, immediately knock it into torpor. It falls from the sky, its form shifting. Perry lays on the ground behind Iavos, and you can see Hal suddenly come to his senses, no longer charmed by the vampire. He smiles at you, puts a hand on Penny, looking down at the blood that she drew, and says, "Not bad, kid. Not bad at all. Let's go home."
No further questions.
As the Guttersnipes emerge shaken but triumphant from their most recent Axis quest, we see Raptors Lament approaching in full gear, waiting for their own to start, as the ring clears them for entry.
Sadly, despite repeated letters to the Commissioner and Board of League Important People, it's still not required for teams to high-five one another whenever they pass by dramatically. But rest assured, my crayon hand is far from cramping up, and there's no slot I can't stuff with fists full of enveloped demands.
I'm sure that kind of thing is exactly what the lowest common denominator of LUQ fan would drink up.
Just like I'm going to slug back this victory meal and tribute to the Snipes. Oh yeah, room temp is where it's at.
Dirk, I asked you to limit your dairy consumption during broadcasts. It's a ludicrously reasonable request.
Yeah, yeah. Aw, flapjacks, now I'm all milky.
Dirk, did you just soil one of my best suits with warm milk?
Nah, don't sweat it. I can get milk out of anything, and I mean anything. Come on, shine up for Dirkie.
Dirk, that is my toothbrush.
No, this is my toothbrush? I should know. I've used it every day for the last week, sometimes twice. I found it unattended, and thus by the laws of chivalry, it shall be declared mine upon oral entry.
Wait. You've been using it for over a week?
Yep. I like how firm the bristles are. Really gets that gum blood flowing. Thanks for letting me keep it by your sink.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Aw, no. Does toothpaste make you sick, too? I started only eating it on Wednesdays, and it really helped me out.
Move aside! Move aside!
Holy smokies. I've never seen 400 pounds of slate sirloin move so fast. He tossed those interns like a pair of socks on their weekly change day. Shucks. I sure hope Rusty's okay. If he gets sick, I'm gonna have to start washing the silverware before I put it back in the drawer and stop borrowing his bath towel. I wouldn't want to catch whatever he has. Safety first. Oh yeah, hi everyone. We're done for now. You can come back later though. Go do whatever it is you do. I'll be here when you get back. Till then, I'm gonna be using some bread to help harvest all this perfectly good floor milk. Bye.
I like it. Ow! No further questions. Pretty good. All right.
Pretty good.
Outro.
Pretty good.
Because Law needs to get to work.
Roll the dice.
Vroom, vroom.
Oh, yeah. I'm rolling a d4.
Yep.
All right.
That was a fun one.
That was really fun.
It's a 3, which I think would be Penny, then Law, then Zachary Barkus.
That's correct.
You are correct. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. I want to go around the table, starting with
Angelo Kaluig. I play Gaspar, the headless rogue of the Phantom subclass. And Vampire Killer.
Simulated Vampire Killer.
Yeah. Damn it.
I am Michael Loving. I was the dungeon boy for this episode, but I also played Charmed Hal, who fought the party.
And the closet boy.
And yes, I'm also the closet boy as we continue to take precautions against whatever mystery illness I have, hopefully not infecting the rest of the cast.
This is Dana Ebert playing Penny Farthing. Through the months of January and February in 2020, I am doing some giveaways on my Twitter. That's Mistress Dana RPG. You can win some signed stuff from me and some signed stuff from Law.
Yes, indeed. And I am Law. I played at Alvos Isadora, witness to the Withering Acre, and creative director of Slapdash Studios.
And I'm Zach Barkus. I'm Dungeon Boy. I'm also the technical director for Slapdash Studios. Though this time I wasn't the Dungeon Boy. Thank you so much, Michael. That means that Michael gets the honor of giving MVP to somebody here. Ooh. At the game.
All right. I think MVP has to go to Gaspar.
Yeah.
Who not only did Hal's recommended tactic of telling the media to fuck off, but also got the killing shot on Perry, freeing simulation Hal from the charm effect.
Clutch critical plus stonewalling the press.
Yes.
Could not have done better.
Earns MVP every time.
Play of the game?
I just want to give a quick, like play of the game to everyone for the newscasters and publications that they made up.
We came up with all of those literally in like 10 minutes right after like Michael said it.
Yeah, so. I didn't want to give them prompts because I wanted the genuine reaction when I told them that House Challenge was the press. So that I didn't tell them, come up with a journalist, a publication, and some questions until we started recording the episode.
Right, and like half the questions, like 2 of the 4 I think I asked, only 2 of mine were like I wrote during that time, and all the others were just like riffing, and it's just a very fun segment.
We did a great job of juicing each other up. This has been an absolutely fantastic chapter. Thank you guys so much for taking some of the burden off my shoulders. I just bought a house. I've got so much shit going on. It looks like I'm going to be going to Hawaii during January and February.
What a burden.
Which means I'm just going to be super, super fucking busy. So I'm really sorry that we haven't been able to launch into Hero Rank the way I wanted to. If you guys are okay with it, you might see some more weird episodes coming up or not. Who knows? We'll
and very,
see.
Very quickly, that Hawaii trip is for work. Zach's not a dick.
Yeah, I'm not just leaving just to say fuck you. I have to go to Hawaii for work. Oh, no, I have to go to Honolulu for work. Aww.
Yeah, that's probably fair to point out. He's not taking an irresponsibly timed vacation.
Yeah, so thank you guys so much. If you want to learn more about our show, please go to theluq.com. But until next time, we wish you luck.